Rookie season rolls on, the combine's over, and it is overreaction season. We're going to pass through the chaos, bring you 8 big talking points, decide which of them even matter. And then we're going to get into Superflex rookie mock draft, see if anything's changed in the aftermath of the combine. Let's do this. Yes, there's lots to talk about. Me and Rich thought it was well overdue time that we brought on one of our favorite people to do so. Lewis Wood, the Dynasty Pancake on Twitter, part of the Fantasy Wildcard Rewind show. We're not messing about tonight, though, Lewis. I'm coming straight to you. The headline, Xavier Worthy broke the NFL combine record for the 40 with a 4.21, weighed in at 165 pounds. And if you're going to weigh that little, you better be fast. Lewis, what matters most, if anything, out of what Xavier Worthy did this weekend?
So I think the, it's really exciting that he's broken the combine record. And the weight, to me, it seems like what he did was lose 10 to 15 pounds for the combine so that he could break the record. And I wouldn't be surprised to see if we get to the pro day and he weighs in a little bit heavier again. Because when he first weighed in, I was a bit stunned because, yeah, he's got quite a skinny frame, but I didn't think it was going to be all the way down at 167. Obviously, it's very exciting that he's broken the record, and well done to him. And I know this is something that we've spoken about a lot. I'm not hugely bothered in terms of altering my rankings because he ran the 4.21, because we knew he was fast anyway. I don't want to double count the fact that we have now seen that he's fast and have historic proof that he's fast, because also the 40 time doesn't hugely make a big amount of difference. I mean, Xavier Worthy, will come onto it later anyway, but Xavier Worthy was my wide receiver 4 and remains my wide receiver 4, and I'm delighted for that moment, but it doesn't hugely affect anything in terms of my outlook looking forwards.
You're on mute, Tom.
Last time we saw a 40 time this fast, it was John Ross. Obviously, that felt like it really impacted his draft stock. And, you know, now we know that he got taken too high. But are the parallels there, Rich? You know, the way Xavier Worthy plays seems to be quite different than the way that John Ross plays. Xavier Worthy broke out at age 18 compared to John Ross, who broke out at 20. Is it right to be wary of these speedsters, or do you think that we just need to give Xavier Worthy credit for this as well as taking a bigger view of what he's done?
I think, first of all, I'm devastated because I was a huge Xavier Worthy fan before the combine, and I thought that I was going to be sneaking him into maybe some early second rounds of rookie drafts. Those days have gone. I think the hype is completely ridiculous. It is. I find it completely mad. If he'd have run a 4.23, you know, or he ran a 4.25 with his first 40, no one would be talking about him. And it's kind of like, you know, the difference between a 4.21 and a 4.25 is nothing. It's literally a click of the fingers. And that's enough to take him from some people's, you know, wide receiver 10, 11, I saw him a couple of weeks ago at, to now he's up in wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5. It seems slightly ridiculous. The comp to John Ross is stupid, if I can be honest. Yes, they're both fast, but they're completely different profiles. I mean, you know, John Ross, we're talking 46th percentile receiving yards per team pass attempts, which, you know, is pretty horrendous. Xavier Worthy, you're talking 90th percentile. You know, this is a guy that broke out age 18 in an impressive Texas offense and has been a key contributor to a fantastic offense over the last 3 years. John Ross was kind of had a one-trick pony. Xavier Worthy's got the talent to match, and I think that, yes, the hype has got out of control because of the 40 time, but actually, let's fall in love with him because he had a fantastic production profile, because he had really good age adjusted production, because he's a good player, not because he's run a 4.41/40.
It's kind of funny that, you know, this time last year, every wide receiver in the class was undersized, and like we were kind of talking about, okay, well, maybe this is just what wide receivers are kind of like now. And now you fast forward a year, and because there's a more prototypical wide receiver class, the weight is more of a talking point. So yeah, I definitely think if he'd come out last year, then it wouldn't have been as much of a conversation as it'll be, but it's definitely going to rattle on, and we'll get to a super flex mock in a short while and we can see where he lands. We've got loads more rookie content on the way on this channel. If you aren't already, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out. Number two that I wanted to talk about, Troy Franklin, weighed in lower than expected at 176. And unlike Xavier Worthy, when he weighed in light, Troy Franklin did not run crazy fast, ran a 4.41, which is fast, but it's not crazy fast. And if you've got a kind of reputation as being that kind of deep threat, that one-trick pony, it's not a great look. But Rich, is this a good thing in terms of it's going to keep Troy Franklin in that deep sleeper phase for drafts?
I'm happy because it means I'm going to end up with more Troy Franklin, selfishly. I think Troy Franklin's a fantastic receiver. I think he's a nuanced route runner. I think I keep seeing that he's a body catcher, and yeah, he catches a few times over his shoulder with bodies and things, but there's plenty of times where he's going up over people and catching with his hands, and I think he's got fantastic ball skills. And I've got very few concerns about him as an all-round receiver. And I think the 40 time checks out. I think the weight, yes, ideally I'd like a little bit more. He had a really bad rep in the gauntlet drill, and I think people are sort of banging him over the head and saying, you know, this is awful, how can he, you know, run that, he's been practicing it for months. It's a drill. He got a little bit off stride and just carried on. I'm not concerned about that. I'd rather the 3 years of high quality tape that he's put on film than one silly little gauntlet drill. So yeah, I don't think he had the best combine, but I'm not devastated by it. And I'd much rather see him, you know, believe what I've already seen. And as I said, the age adjusted production, that good tape. And I think that, you know, he's my wide receiver three, and that's not moved after the combine.
Lewis.
The bigger worry for me with Troy Franklin is not, and you're slightly higher than I am on him, but not by a huge amount. The bigger worry for me on Troy Franklin isn't the 40 time, because 40 times aren't hugely relevant so long as it's not incredibly slow. The bigger worry for me was the 10-yard split. So the 1.61 10-yard split was the slowest among all receivers. And the worry for me is obviously there's a difference between deep speed and kind of quickness to get open quickly. And the worry for me is that he ends up in a situation where he's a designated deep threat receiver in the NFL, and that just isn't going to lead to as much fantasy consistency if that's the role that he ends up taking. If it's that he has the fantastic long speed, but not that ability to kind of quickly get open off the line. And so for me, that's kind of more concerning than not running as quick a 40 as we would have liked. I agree with you about the gauntlet. Like, it was embarrassing, but it is one drill. It's, you know, we talk a lot about sample size, and unfortunately you do only get a chance to do it once.
So today reports came out.
Sorry, Tom.
No, go on, Rich.
Can I just quickly jump in on Franklin? I just want to say, my thing with Franklin is I think he's a long strider, and I think that, yes, he is going to have longer stem routes. He's going to run posts, he's going to run comebacks, he's going to run goes. But I don't think that stops him from being a complete receiver. I just think he's going to be more of a downfield option.
So, sorry, Tom. I'll get to this finally. It's quite all right. Today we saw reports come out that Rams had interest in Mike Evans if he hit the open market. Now, that always felt like a very all-in move for the Rams. But, Lewis, you're a Rams fan. It wouldn't be okay for me to bring you on and not talk about them. Is Troy Franklin the kind of budget option that they should be looking at to bring in without spending the world on a wide receiver?
I can see, more than anything, the Rams wanting to go out and sign an alpha to play on the boundary, that you have two very movable pieces at the moment in Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. And Kupp obviously took a step down last season, has had injuries the last couple of years, and we can't be 100% confident of his projection going forwards. But also, it's always better to replace the players while you have them in-house. Look at the way that the Eagles have been working with their D-line, their O-line for the last few years. Troy Franklin, for me, I haven't seen many rumors about. The one which is going around the Rams community at the minute is a trade up for Roma Dunze, which I'm not hugely into because I don't like trading up for anyone that isn't a quarterback. But if you could get it done for not paying a huge amount, I'd be super into. For me, Franklin, I think we've been burned before by going for a skinny wide receiver who's mostly based around speed. And I think they'd rather get an alpha with some size in if they're going to change the way that they want to put together that wide receiver core.
Yeah, well, we'll stick loosely with the Rams. Keon Coleman, slow in the 40, 4.61, but great in the drills. And the one that everyone's kind of talking about is the gauntlet, which Puka Nacua aced last year. So, Lewis, does Coleman's poor testing matter? Or is this kind of just the book that we already had on him? Or is it just going to be a case where people are going to cling on to this gauntlet performance and effectively double count it and be like, well, it didn't matter for Puka Nacua, when we both know that Puka Nacua isn't coming along in every draft class?
Yeah, so I wasn't hugely into Keon Coleman beforehand, but the athletic testing doesn't bother me at all. And his profile's really all over the place. That when you look at the 40 time, it's 20th percentile for weight adjusted, but then the broad jump is 79th percentile. The physicality is quite impressive at the catch point. And after the catch, the issue for me with Keon Coleman is the bend and kind of the route running nuances. So the 40 time doesn't really bother me too much. Obviously, we've seen that he had the fastest miles per hour in the gauntlet. So, I mean, that is maybe more indicative of play speed than the 4.61 40 is. For me, the issues that I had with Coleman, I still have with Coleman, and the things which I thought he was good at, he's still good at. You know, he's still a pretty good athlete. I don't think at his size we would have expected him to absolutely nail the 40. So I think the 4.61, yeah, it's disappointing. You would have preferred sitting around 5.45, but it's not going to hugely drop him in my rankings.
You're on mute again, Tom.
How about you, Rich? Any big takeaways coming out of the weekend on Keon Coleman?
I had concerns about Keon Coleman anyway. I think I'm lower than consensus on him. And to echo what Lewis said, it's his route running that concerns me. I think he's fantastic with the ball in his hands. I think he's got really impressive raw athleticism. I'm a little bit concerned about that 40 time, but, you know, the speed in the drills kind of marries up with that. But I'm fed up of people saying, well, Puka was the best in the gauntlet drill last year. Puka had an amazing rookie season. So therefore, Keon Coleman did the best in the rookie deal. And therefore, Keon Coleman's going to be amazing. It doesn't work like that. Let's build the whole pit rather than just taking one single piece of evidence and putting.
But if it does,
then everyone coming up with 50.
But if it does, then this time next year we're going to have a really fun combine when just do away with the rest of the drills and wait for the gauntlet.
Yeah, people will just be running 40s through the gauntlet. You know, I've yet to see a route where a wide receiver has to turn and catch 5 balls in a row. I've yet to see that run on an NFL field. So maybe if it does, maybe Keon Coleman will become a superstar. But until he can actually bend and run some proper routes, I'm concerned.
I think, kind of touching on that, I think Puka Nacua has really created a problem both for the real NFL and for fantasy as well. I think that people are now looking and going, well, how can we get the next Puka? And I think it's affecting people in dynasty drafts that people are going, well, we need to hold on to our third and fourth round picks because we can pick up these absolute studs, Sam Laporta, Tank Dell, Puka Nacua. But the odds, just because some of them emerged this year, the odds hasn't changed going forwards of them being elite. And then for the real NFL, people are going, well, what data point did we miss? What was the thing that the Rams spotted about Puka that meant that they knew this? Well, if the Rams knew this, they wouldn't have drafted him in the fifth round. If you watch the video where they're talking about drafting Puka, they're talking about him as maybe being able to develop into a solid role player. And they're really excited about it, about the game speed and the way that differs with the combine testing. But they're not going, I can't believe no one spotted that we've just got the new wide receiver one in the fifth round. Like, there's nothing really to be learned from Puka Nacua because no one no one saw in advance that this was going to happen and had this magical bit of testing or this magical metric that could predict this future success. Puka really is an outlier, and we shouldn't be trying to adapt all of our analytics off of one fantastic player.
Well, where's the fun in that? In terms of takeaways, one of the players who really does seem to have climbed a little bit this weekend and really performed well, Isaac Guerrero, crazy high-weighted athletic score, led all running backs in speed score. You go back and look at what he did last year, 90.3 PFF rush grade, 4.11 yards after contact per attempt, 10.6 breakaway rate. The RB position, it's there for the taking. Rich, I've seen your rookie guide. It's coming out very soon. Was he somebody who climbed up the ranks in your post-combine rankings?
He's definitely climbed into my consciousness. I'll be honest, I've written up 80 players, and he's not one of the ones that I've written up yet. I've only got one game film of him, so I'm waiting on two more games before I can write him up fully. But yeah, I mean, look, I always say that athletic testing, combine results mean nothing for the wide receiver position. They mean nothing for quarterbacks, but weight-adjusted speed score is important for running backs. And when you do run a 4.33 or whatever it was at the size he is, that's going to cause me to, you know, reevaluate him. And I think that's something that the NFL will look at as well. And I think that a few scouts are probably going back to look at the tape over the next week and see if they've missed something on him. And I think that he will climb in certainly in mock drafts. And I think he's certainly put himself on the fantasy radar for those, you know, potentially probably third, fourth round picks.
Lewis, if I'm right in thinking, you were quite early on the Isaac Guerrero train, weren't you?
Yeah, on that freight train of Isaac Guerrero. So I'd seen a few people talking about him as sleepers and went and watched as much as I could get hold of. It kind of has to be highlight reels with Guerrero, because not only is it obviously a slightly smaller school, but also he didn't play all that much in college. He was the RB2 on the team. But you can see explosive plays, you can see the physicality in his running, you can see a certain amount of burst, which is obviously pretty good at 220 plus pounds. And like you've spoken about already, he had the fastest 40 of any 220 pound plus running back since 2003. So it's someone that I really liked, and I ranked him as my RB8. And he was kind of my flavor of the month. And similarly to Rich talking about Troy Franklin, I'm delighted to have been talking about this player when he was very under the radar and someone that I was really keen on. I'm gutted that I'm not going to be able to get him in the fourth round or fifth round anymore, because no one was talking about him at all. And now he's really kind of the talk of the town after that fantastic combine performance.
So we're going to stay with running backs, but first, we've only got a few more points, and we're going to dive into this Superflex rookie mock draft where we can see the kind of fallout of this weekend. But hit those like buttons, hit the subscribe button. With 5 subscribers away from 1,700, I know we can do that tonight. Bucky Irving, running back out of Oregon, 192 pounds, ran a 4.55. That's almost Keon Coleman territory. We saw last year that, like, if you're going to be a lighter running back, then you need to be like Devon Achan and run like a 4.3 to be able to carve out a role. If Bucky Irving's lighter than ideal and slower than ideal, is this, you know, is he in danger of slipping down draft boards, Rich? Or do we need to give him credit for the fact that he's had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons in college?
I think, look, let's appreciate that he's a fantastic player. He is quicker than fast. I don't think anyone watching his tape was expecting him to run a, you know, a 4.2 or 4.3. He is agile. He is got short area quickness, but he doesn't have that kind of elite top end speed. That being said, you know, 12th percentile weight adjusted speed score is pretty concerning. I think we've probably seen over the last, should we say, 12 months, that speed score isn't everything. I mean, you look at Kyron Williams, I think he was first percentile speed score, and he's done all right in the NFL. It's definitely knocked him for me. He was my pre-combine RB1. I've now got him as my RB3. I still like the tape. I still like the player. I think he's going to have a role in the NFL. but I don't think he's going to be perhaps the fantasy superstar that I was hoping 2 weeks ago.
How about you, Lewis? Any big takeaways on Bucky Irving?
No, it was actually a note that I already had from the film study on Bucky Irving that I thought he kind of only really showed one speed, but I thought that actually it kind of worked, that he is, the vision's pretty good, the contact balance is pretty good. He could do with developing slightly more patience, but like he's still got that ability to wait for blocks to set up in front of him that I quite liked. So to me, I'm not hugely bothered by the 4.58, but I think part of that is kind of the bias of watching Kyren Williams every week. The difference being that I think the pass pro for Kyren is much better. But I still think he's a really good receiving back. I still think there's a lot of value in him. And like we've kind of been talking about the whole time, if you were expecting Bucky Irving to come in and run a 4.2, then you weren't watching the right player. Yeah, we would have liked it to be closer to kind of a 4.45 and a higher percentile, but it doesn't bother me too much and not the amount that it seems to be bothering the community.
Okay, so we've got three more players we're going to touch on before we get into the Superflex mock draft. One of the players possibly shouldn't have even let him fall this far down the list, because what he's doing this weekend is just shooting up draft boards. It is JJ McCarthy. Had pretty fast free cone. We don't see many quarterbacks run it, but he definitely did well in that measurement. Didn't do so well throwing to his left, which has kind of been the knock on him at times over his career. Rich, in your rookie guide, you say that he's like a Rorschach test. And it feels like more and more teams, when they're looking at that Rorschach test at the minute, they're seeing plenty of good things. Do you think this is real, or is this going to be like Malik Willis a few years ago, where we got those little bits of reports saying he could be a first rounder, he could be in the top 10, and then we get to draft night and all of a sudden it's like, oh, actually teams kind of cooled a little bit?
I think the thing with Malik Willis was that it was raw athleticism and rushing upside. I think he had serious concerns in terms of the passing and the processing. I think the thing with JJ McCarthy is that the arm talent is fantastic. You know, he clocked, I think, the second fastest speed only after Joe Milton, which, yeah, go and check out the throw from Joe Milton. I think that, that kind of explains it. The arm talent is there. I think we've got the ability to layer throws, to touch throws, to change different arm angles. He's really impressive over the middle. I do think that I'm a little bit concerned that he's just chucked on a load of water weight to weigh in. I think it was 219 or something. I think he's probably closer than 200 than 219. But then, as you said, he ran that phenomenal three cone, and it's like, oh, okay, maybe it's not all just fake weight. I think that I didn't see anything, and I watched every throw of his, I didn't see anything at the combine that I didn't already see from film. So the hype around him saying, you know, he could go top four now, suggests to me that it's around what he's doing in the interviews and on the board, as opposed to on the field, because I think the tools are absolutely there. I think the talent is there. It's just, we're looking small sample size. So it's about how he's operating and how he's processing in those rooms. And sadly, that's the one piece of the quarterback evaluation we can't get involved in.
Lewis, we've got a question in the chat from our friends and your colleagues at Fantasy Wildcard. Anyone shocked if McCarthy goes as QB2? Do you see it?
No. I'm not hugely in on McCarthy, especially not if he's going to go in and start right away somewhere. I think he looks very raw. I didn't see a huge amount of, like, he can throw the ball very fast, but I didn't see a huge amount of touch and being able to kind of layer in different levels of throw to different levels of the field. So I see him as quite a raw athlete with quite a raw sample, quite a small sample size. To me, if he's going to go as QB2, I am absolutely buzzing if I'm the Patriots or the Falcons or the Broncos sitting anywhere after, because I see Drake May being two tiers above him. I see Jaden Daniels as a tier above him. I mean, the news that's just come out in the last half an hour that the Broncos are officially moving on from Russell Wilson, that tells me that they're, you know, we can potentially lock in JJ McCarthy to the Broncos if he makes it there. But to me, I would want to see him sit and learn for a year. I can't see him as QB2. I have him as closer to Bo Nix and Michael Penix than I do to that top three.
I mentioned Rookie Guide. It's out soon. Hit the join button down below. Select Silver Sunset. It's less than £3 a month, less than $4 a month. There's over 160 pages of analysis, stats, takeaways. It absolutely is going to help you win in 2024. And if you want Rich's guide, the only place you can get it is by signing up as one of our premium members to get access to so much premium content. Rich, player number 7. We've only got 2 left before we get into this mock draft. Roma Dunze did pretty much everything well. Does it matter that he went out there, did every test apart from the bench press, whereas Malik Nabers, Marvin Harris Jr., they did nothing? I mean, Marvin Harris Jr. didn't even do his press conference. A team's going to be impressed by that kind of competitive nature that we saw from Roma Dunze this weekend. And is that going to make this kind of top 2 wide receivers more top 3? And could you see him flipping either of them?
I think all of this is just media trying to get clicks, trying to come up with headlines. And I think, look, Marvin Harrison, he's the clear wide receiver 1 for most people on their boards. He's only going to, you know, let himself down if he doesn't produce as people expected. I love the fact that he said, I'm going to practice playing football rather than running drills. I love that. Malik Nabers, I was a little bit surprised. You know, you're there. I didn't quite get why he didn't weigh in. There was some talk that it was some solidarity with Jane Daniels and stuff. Like, I'm not quite sure what's going on there. But yeah, fair play to Roma Dunze. You know, he competed. Some teams will love that. But as I've said before, the combine is pointless for wide receivers as far as I'm concerned in terms of fantasy football. And I've not learned anything. I think there's still a couple of knocks on him in terms of his profile that I don't love. And for me, he's a clear tier behind those elite top 2.
How about you, Lewis? Any takeaways on Roma Dunze?
Very similar. I think it was, yeah, he went out and dominated at the combine. Yeah, the RAS is great. Yeah, the performance in the gauntlet was fantastic. But it was kind of an open goal without the top 2 wide receivers in front of him. I do have him as my wide receiver 3. I really like Rome. But I agree with Rich that there's a clear tier break between him and the top 2 wide receivers. So I don't think it made a huge difference in terms of anything with the way that I'm viewing Roma Dunze. I am lightly concerned about Malik Nabers' weight and that being the reasons why he didn't want to weigh in. But to be honest, he's so explosive on tape that I struggle to see, like, so long as he weighs more than like 150 pounds, I'll draft him anyway. It doesn't bother me.
Nabers is built well enough. Nabers is probably going to come in about 195, 200. Like, I don't think he's not tiny. I don't understand why he's not weighed in. But
well, I heard on, I think it was Robert Mays and Nate Tyson on the Athletic podcast this morning, they made the point that they thought it was possibly out of solidarity with Jaden Daniels, you know, right, just saying, well, why do you need to weigh in? Why do you need this detail? And obviously, yeah, it's much of a bigger thing for Jaden Daniels. We do have a question in the chat that I want to get to. It's going to be a quick one, though. Building on McCarthy in a 14-team Superflex, desperately need to get a quarterback in first round. Have the 102 and 106. Do I go Harrison, then McCarthy or May, or Daniels, then Adunze? I mean, we sell a T-shirt for this in our store. It's draft for talent, trade for need, you know. Take the best player on the board and figure it out. We've got months ahead of us. I think you're going to be in plenty of good situations in the first round. And in those first 8-9 picks, you are going to get so many trade offers this year. There's clearly a lot of clamor for those. So that's how I see it. Anything from you guys?
No, the only thing I'd add is that obviously being 14-team Superflex, it raises the value of that quarterback a little bit. So I don't know if I could go Harrison at 2 over a quarterback, given how thirsty you'd need to be for a quarterback in a 14-team league.
Fair enough. Let's move on to one last player before we get into the Superflex rookie mock draft. Audric Estime, running back out of Notre Dame, 221 pounds, physical running back, 79th percentile broad jump, 5th percentile weight adjusted 40. It feels like, you know, we go back to that phrase, the Rorschach test. There wasn't any real answers on Estime this weekend. So has he missed out on a chance to improve his stock, or is he just going to be labeled a Gus Edwards, Brian Robinson type for his career, Lewis?
So, I mean, first of all, what is it about Notre Dame running backs and struggling in the 40? That was where Kyron came from as well, and it's interesting to see that happen. No, to me, like, again, it doesn't hugely bother me. I think he's a big body who plays well through contact, and I think he'll have a good career and goal line work and working between the tackles. You would have liked it to be a faster 40 because you'd always like it to be a faster 40. But the big thing for me is like the long speed is going to limit his NFL role. But I liked what I saw from on tape enough to not be hugely bothered by it. And I didn't think that he had huge long speed in the first place. So I think I'm kind of fine with what I see. I think this is the running theme of the show, is kind of not overreacting to something unless it completely contradicts what you thought you saw in the first place.
Rich, any overreactions, or are you just going to carry on sitting
there? No, I mean, I was a bit concerned, I'll be honest, because he weighed in about 15 pounds lighter than I was expecting him to weigh in at, and then to come in lighter and still run a slower 40 than I was expecting, that's a real concern. You know, it's in that Bucky Irving 12th percentile weight-adjusted speed score again. Like, it's not great. But I still think he's a top six back in this class, and I don't see it having a huge impact on him.
Well, we've beaten around the bush long enough. We've talked so many things. Let's get into a mock and see how much this kind of actually plays out differently now that we've got more data, more knowledge behind us. Let me just change that one to... There we go. So, Lewis, I'm going to come to you first. We are playing in a Superflex rookie dynasty mock draft. Who is the 101 for you coming out of a combine?
It's still Caleb Williams for me. I'm not hugely bothered about the not handing over medical details and not talking with teams and not testing at this point. He's the best player in the class at the most important position. It's obviously still a debate between him and Marvin Harrison Jr., but to me, it's still Caleb Williams at 101.
Rich, 1-2.
It's Marvin Harrison for me. He's still a knock above, but I do think if I'm owning 102s, if it stays as expected, I'm potentially looking to move back to the 104 here, because I think he's very much in a tier along with May and Neighbours.
What would you want on top of the 104 to move back from 1-2?
I'd take a second. I think you can get a lot more than that, but I'd take a single second.
Lovely. And Lewis, okay then. So we've kind of got past the two fairly obvious picks. What's the 1-3 for you?
To me, I don't think we're past the obvious ones yet. So this is still Drake May to me. He's my QB2. He spent a lot of time in the offseason as my QB1, and then has swapped with Caleb Williams in the last, I'd say, 3 to 4 weeks. I still love what I'm seeing on tape. I still think he's a much better athlete than people give him credit for. The arm's there, the prototypical size is there. He's a much safer prospect than Jaden Daniels, and I still think he'll go second overall to the Commanders, which is actually looking like a pretty good situation with the weapons around him.
If Drake May goes to the Commanders, how much of a bump would that give to Terry McLaurin in your eyes?
Not a huge amount. I think we've been led slightly astray by the performances of CJ Stroud this year to make us think that rookie QBs can perform immediately. So I think with obviously, if they could develop a bit of a rapport in the long term in Dynasty, it could be interesting. I wouldn't in redraft be immediately interested in seeing Terry McLaurin, because chances are rookie QBs are always going to struggle. The other thing with Terry McLaurin is he's sneakily kind of old. So he's 28. He'll turn 29 in this season, which doesn't feel right because he's only been in the NFL for what, four seasons? So yeah, it came out in 2019. So to me, in Dynasty, I think he might have the ability to perform better with Drake May as the best quarterback he's played with so far, but I don't think immediately he's going to see a huge uptick in production.
Yeah, I mean, we're not the biggest Terry McLaurin fans here in the sanctuary, but it does seem like whatever happens, whatever quarterback play he's got, he's still going to go out there, get 75 receptions every year, about 1,000 yards, and score 4 or 5 touchdowns. So I don't mind him as a buy low if you find somebody who's completely down on him, but I completely understand what you're saying. Rich, 104.
It's Malik Neighbours for me. The last in a tier. absolutely elite, electric with the ball in his hands, and think he's going to be a superstar for years to come.
So if we're saying that this is the tier break, how much would it cost for you to move back out of this tier to say like the 1-7? Like, because if you're losing a tier of player, I always feel like I want to get an overpay on that deal. Like, are you staying fast and just being like, no, I really believe in Malik Nabers? Or if you got a really good deal, would you do it?
I guess for me, this is a tier. I think consensus would have Jaden Daniels in this tier along with the four. To move back to 107, I'd need probably a future first. Like, it is a massive drop off for me from 4 to 7.
Yeah. Okay. Lewis, would you have taken Malik Nabers there at 4?
104 is maybe my least favorite pick, because I think the answer when it comes down to it is yes. But I hate not taking a quarterback when there's going to be another top five quarterback in that slot. I hate taking a positional player ahead of him. So I probably would have taken Malik Nabers, but I have a feeling that if I find myself with a 104, I'm going to stress about it and hope that Drake May falls there.
It is tricky. I mean, you go back, last time we kind of had this many quarterbacks going in this area was like the Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Trey Lance year. One player who kind of slid down to that sort of 104 to 107 range was Ja'Marr Chase. And in hindsight, definitely the better asset, of maybe apart from Trevor Lawrence. But Lewis, who are you going with the 105?
So I would go with Jaden Daniels here. And I say that as someone that, you know, he's my QB3, but I still feel like I'm slightly lower on him. But that's just because the community at the moment, there's lots of people that see him as the QB2. I saw him actually being mocked as the 101 recently. And I can see the upside. But to me, I worry about him. I worry about him being able to stay in the pocket. I worry about him being able to take hits at the slender frame. But if we're talking about range of outcomes, there is a world in which Jaden Daniels is the most valuable player in this class in 2 years' time. There's also a world in which he's doesn't have a starting job anymore in 2-3 years time. So I would take him here. It's really an upside pick, but I would feel scared about it, and I would prefer to have kind of a solid veteran behind him as my QB3 if I was taking Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels is the kind of player who in previous years I've been very in on dual threat, very outspoken about how much I feel like they're the key to fantasy. But if you can go on YouTube and type in highlights of Jaden Daniels getting trucked, it just doesn't feel like a good sign. He plays football in the same kind of way that Anthony Richardson does, but Anthony Richardson has like 60, 70 pounds on him. Like, it just, yeah. It's really difficult for me to see how he's going to stay healthy through the first full season unless he takes a page out of Lamar Jackson's book and starts getting airborne to take the hits without getting airborne up to the point where he's getting his stomach into the shoulder of the oncoming defender. So there's part of me that's like, you know, you go and look at Jaden Daniels' highlights and they are incredible, but I'm a little bit worried about what kind of situation he finds himself in. And I think 105 feels fine. Before we move on to Rich's 106 pick though, Five subscribers away from 1,700. Want to hit 2,000 by the time of the draft here. It's a long way to go, and I need your help. Just hit that subscribe button right now. Rich, 106.
Yeah, so I'm going to go Troy Franklin here. This is a pick. If this was a live draft, I'd be moving back a couple of spots here because I think I'm ahead of consensus there. But as I said earlier, when we were talking about him, I love the route running ability. I love his ability to take top off of the defense. And I think that he could be a, you know, slightly boom bust fantasy option, but certainly an option that's going to put up a lot of fantasy points.
Lewis, were you expecting that?
I was expecting that because I know Rich and I know Rich's rankings. But I also know, like, I can agree, and we'll come on to this in about kind of 8 picks or so. I know that we're taking an exercise here to talk through the players that we have ranked here rather than who we would actually take in this situation.
Okay, so where are you going at 107?
So it's a it's a toss up between two players to me that are in a tier above Troy Franklin. I think I probably would go with Broma Dunze, just because I value a potential top 24 wide receiver over a potential top 5 tight end. Now, I would feel silly missing out on Brock Bowers if he explodes the way that we think he will. But this is something we've spoken about quite a lot before, about the value of that top 5 tight end, especially with the landscape the way it is at the moment, that I would just rather take the shot on a potential wide receiver one.
So we've got a question in the chat. I guess it's going to you, Rich. How close do you have Franklin and Brian Thomas?
I've got Matera Pot. I've got Brian Thomas as my wide receiver 6. Troy Franklin is my wide receiver 3. So, yeah, it is definitely a drop down. I think that Brian Thomas is a bigger framed one-trick pony, whereas I think that Troy Franklin has got a little bit more route running ability and a little bit more nuance to his game, whereas I think Brian Thomas is just a guy that goes deep and catches balls over smaller defenders and can't really do much else.
So Brian Thomas is one of the names that maybe we should have talked about before this, because coming out of the combine, he ran a very fast 40, particularly for his size. Do you think that's something which you can leverage in your drafts? You know, if you know that there's somebody who's a Brian Thomas fan, are you immediately trying to leverage those picks to get them to come up and take him?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, this is the area of the draft where I think I can scoop up the most value, because I know the guys that I'm looking to draft here are unlikely to be going around ADP here. So I'm absolutely looking to, you know, move back, pick up additional assets, potentially move out of the picks altogether, because I know the guys in this ADP range, I'm not taking probably for another 3 or 4 picks. So I'd very rarely be looking to take a guy like Troy Franklin or anybody else in this, because I know that Brian Thomas is coming off the board. I know that Brock Bowers is coming off the board around here in ADP.
Well, it is your pick, Rich. Are you going with Brock Bowers? Are you stopping the slide?
No. I'm going to go the quarterback position. We've had a few chats in the Discord, in our members only Discord, about Brock Bowers and how I view the tight end position. But for me, we're talking super flex, a guy that could potentially be a top 4 pick in the NFL draft. Getting him at 1-8 seems ridiculous value right now.
Joe Milton?
AJ McCarthy.
Okay, so Lewis, I mean, we started doing these mocks pretty early on. Brock Bowers was going like in the 1-4, you know, he was like that first non-quarterback wide receiver off the board, quite comfortably going a few picks earlier. Are you comfortable taking him at this point, or do you just not see the value in taking this sort of top 8, top 9, top 10 tight end?
I would take him here. I was really hoping that Rich was going to go for Sam Hartman and do some hair-based drafting off the back of the combine, because I know that like lots of the athleticism stuff doesn't matter, but a good set of locks really does for your rankings. No, it's Brock Bowers for me here. I think just because, and there's a debate between him and the fastest man in NFL history, but I think here he's slipped enough that I'm pretty comfortable with it, especially because if I'm picking around this range, you know, we've got ourselves all the way down to the 109. I'm probably a relatively good team. I've at least made playoffs, so I can afford slightly more luxury in that potential upside pick of the tight end one overall.
So, Lewis, where would you like to see Bowers land? Because, you know, we've talked about this plenty of times, but draft landing spot doesn't really matter at certain positions, but at the tight end spot, we've talked about how like it really kind of does. You need a good scheme, you need the right system. Where would you ideally like to see Brock Bowers go?
Yeah, I think the big one which people talk about is obviously the Chargers, which I think could be really interesting. I see a lot of talk about him to the Colts, which I think could potentially be a good landing spot for him as well. I mean, I think my current one is I'd quite like the Rams, not necessarily for fantasy, but just for myself. And he could be the kind of guy that you could start to see slide. I actually actually looked into recently in terms of the number of targets that you need at the tight end position to finish as a top six tight end. And basically the average target share over the last three seasons is 19%, and no tight end had finished in the top six with a target share of less than 16%. And only four across that span had less than 100 targets. Basically, you want him to have about a 20% target share and more than 100 targets. So I don't think you want to see him go to, if he's to slip that far, the Rams or the Bengals or teams with established wide receivers already. I think for fantasy, you want to see him go to the Chargers would be decent, the Colts would be decent, the Jets as well, I could see as a decent landing spot without anything aside from Garrett Wilson. I think, you know, the landing spots that we think about, wow, imagine him playing with these elite players. You actually don't really, for fantasy, want him to be playing with other elite players. You want him to be, at worst, the number two option in the offense.
Rich, how do you feel about what Lewis said there? Do you agree on all that?
Yeah, I agree pretty much with everything he said. I think, you know, he is an elite talent. I'm a Georgia fan. I absolutely love watching Brock Bowers play. But I just think that I can't get on board with, I guess, the return on investment of, for him to pay off as a top six pick, he needs three or four top six seasons. And I just don't think in terms of, yeah, that's probably going to happen, but I don't know in terms of bankable outcomes whether I could take that over a guy like Franklin or Odunze, who I think could have top 36 seasons at the same rate and essentially produce equivalent value. So that's where I'm going. But I'd go here. Lewis alluded to him, the fastest man in NFL history. I'm happy to take Xavier Worthy here. This is where I was taking him before the combine. So, yeah, very happy to be taking him in.
So, Harry in the chat asks, is Henry Ruggs a better comparison than John Ross when we were talking? If you had to put a comparison on Xavier Worthy, does anyone stand out, Rich?
I really hate comparisons, so I struggle with this.
That's why I asked you.
I'm trying to think back to Henry Ruggs size-wise. I think Xavier Worthy is a far better all-round player and a far better nuanced route runner than Henry Ruggs. I think Henry Ruggs was very much a one-trick pony. I want to say Ruggs was about 190 as well in terms of size. I think he was a bit taller, probably about 6 foot 190, I reckon, off the top of my head. So different size and very different route running ability. So I wouldn't say Henry Ruggs was a particularly great comparison for him. I think Worthy can do a lot more as an all-round receiver than Ruggs. I don't have a great comparison because I don't like them, so I try to avoid them at all costs.
So Ruggs was 5'11 and 188, so you weren't too far away.
I'm taking that. I'm taking that. 6 foot 190, yeah. I'll take that.
Lewis, 111, where are you going with the pick here? One of these very late round one picks.
Yeah, I think we've spoken about him already, but I think it's Brian Thomas for me at this point. I like what I'm seeing in terms of the athleticism. He had a really stellar combine. I liked what I saw from him coming out. So, yeah, I mean, we've spoken a lot about Brian Thomas already, but I'm at the 111, I'm quite happy with him.
And Rich, last pick of round one.
Yeah, so I'm basing this on the fact that I'm a contender. I've got a team ready to build. So I'm going to take Jonathan Brooks. Yes, I've got to deal with the fact that he's potentially going to go on pup, potentially even redshirt his rookie year, given that ACL injury. But I think if he didn't have that ACL injury, we'd be talking him about him in and around Troy Franklin, Rome Odunze, quite frankly. So, yeah, I love the value that I can scoop here and hope that my team's good enough to carry me for the first half of the season at least.
And I think that's going to be something which we're going to see more and more over the next month, 50 days or so. We are going to see running backs creeping, because regardless of the fact that it's not, you know, we're not getting Bijan Robinson, we're not getting Jahmyr Gibbs, we're not getting Devon Achan, there are running backs who are going to be serviceable, and it's such a high turnover position in Dynasty, and the amount of teams who are going to be competitors or feel like they're only a running back away. It might not be there in like DLF ADP or a lot of the big sites that collate them or sleepers ADP, but I think what's going to be common in a lot of people's drafts is seeing those running backs sneak in. Lewis, did you have any kind of thoughts for running back in this range?
I am debating. So Rich and I have the same RB1 in Jonathan Brooks. I, at this point in the cycle, I am so much more confident in scouting wide receiver than I am running back. So I have a lot of opinions on the wide receiver class and not a huge amount on the running back, or I feel less confident in my evaluations. So at this point in the cycle, I feel much happier taking wide receivers and also the nature of the class. But a lot of it comes down to my own process and my own skills and abilities that I'm much more confident in my evaluation at the wide receiver position. I do think now is when you can start taking shots on the running back class, but I'm not going to. And I'm going to go with one of the other winners of the combine, which is a player that is really quite confident. Controversial at the minute, that people either seem to love or hate, and that's AD Mitchell. 4.34 40, 97th percentile adjusted spark, 92nd percentile speed score, no agility drills, which slightly worries me because the lateral movement wasn't fantastic from what I saw, but he was one of only two wide receivers at the combine since 2015 to run 4.35 or less in the 40 whilst measuring at least 6'2 and weighing at least 205 pounds, the only other one being DK Metcalf, which I think is a relatively reasonable comparison. AD Mitchell is quite raw, but I it also wouldn't surprise, quite similar to Jaden Daniels in the sense of like, it's really an upside pick. I mean, he's definitely going to go in the first round in the NFL draft. So being able to get a first round talent in the second round would be something I'd be quite happy with.
Rich, would you have gone AD Mitchell there, or are you a bit low on consensus on him?
No, I'm not a fan of AD Mitchell. So yeah, I'd have left him out on the board for quite a while yet. I'd have gone Trey Benson. I think the running back here is, that really confused me what was going on there. I'm going Trey Benson. I think he's got the chance to be the first running back drafted in the NFL draft. I think, you know, we saw the explosion, the athleticism in terms of that. I think, what was he, 94th percentile speed score, really decent all-round prospect. And I think he's probably one of a handful of guys in this class that you could argue could be a true three-down workhorse.
Lovely. Lewis, back to you. Where are you going?
I am debating between taking my guy here or later, but I think I'm going to wait and go back to quarterback and go to Bo Nix at my QB5. Someone that didn't have the best combine, but I don't really care about the combine for quarterbacks. I thought he was maybe the most pro ready of the next tier of quarterback. I liked his pocket presence, I liked his mobility, I liked his footwork. I thought he was quite accurate on the move. I think there's a world in which, I mean, we always beforehand go, there might be 8 quarterbacks in the first round in this draft, and there never are. But I think he has a real chance to go in the first round. And I think especially if there's that really early run, if you see someone trade up with the Cardinals to take JJ McCarthy at 4th overall, then I think it almost guarantees someone else taking Bo Nix in the first round. And if he's taken in the first round, then 203 would be an absolute steal for him.
Yeah, I think if that happens, yeah, he's definitely going to be kind of fringe back end of round one in drafts, in certain drafts, just because, you know, I think people are going to talk themselves into it because we saw so many quarterback injuries last year and so many teams were decimated. In our Discord, it seemed like every single week we were having a pity party for everybody who just lost another quarterback and was down to like one quarterback and scrabbling around on waivers for the guys like Aiden O'Connell and Joe Flacco's of the world. But yeah, Rich, 204, where are you going?
So I'm going to go Keon Coleman. We've talked about him before. I don't love the route running ability, but I think that level of athleticism, that ability with the ball in his hands, at this point is worth taking a flyer on.
Nice. Lewis, would Keon Coleman have been in play for you?
He's not my next wide receiver, but I'm intrigued enough by him to consider him around this point. I probably, and I think I'm going to go back to the running back well, although I say back to the running back well, I actually haven't picked a running back yet, because I do have a guy that I want to talk about later. But if we're playing the way you would in a real dynasty draft, I know that Rich isn't going to take this player anytime soon. So I'll probably go Bucky Irving, who obviously we've spoken about already as a combine loser. But we spoke about in that moment about that I like what I'm seeing with Bucky Irving, and that I think he has a potential to work in the NFL, especially as one of the backs left. One of the backs that's better with out of the backfield, working routes out of the backfield. So I would go with Irving in this spot.
Rich, is this kind of where Bucky Irving's fallen for you post-combine?
This is about where I'd be taking him. I think post-combine is ADP. I wouldn't be shocked if it fell a little bit further, to be honest. I think there's some people that are talking that maybe not taking him in the top two rounds. For my pick here, though, I'm going to take the final of the elite QBs, if you want to talk it that, although I still think there's one more guy that could be in that conversation. I'll go Michael Penix. I think that he's, you know, who knows? If he ends up as a first-round pick, this is incredible value. If he goes day two, this is probably a slight reach. So we'll sit in the middle and we'll grab him here.
Okay, let's we'll rattle through these last kind of six picks. Lewis, 207.
I'm going to... Can we rattle through everything but this one?
Yeah, fire away, my man.
So I'm going to take Jalen McMillan here, who I've spoken about in the Discord and spoken about on Twitter, is the guy that I fall in love with at the minute. I really love the route running. I think he's really solid through contact. I think he's got really solid hands. I think, you know, he didn't blow the combine away, but he did pretty well at everything, which is kind of what you want to see. I really value, and perhaps this is my Jonathan Mingo learnings, that I'm really starting to value that route running ability much more so than kind of the physical tools and not just looking for chasing alphas. And I'm about to hit like fancy sanctuary bingo by talking about Jonathan Mingo and then talking about the Calvin Johnson theory as well. But Jalen McMillan for me is a player that I really like. I think if he hadn't got injured last season, he would be kind of vaulting up draft boards, and I'd be very happy taking him around this range. But you don't have to. You can get him midway through the third. But we're not going to draft all the way into the third, so I'll take him now.
So he's clearly your guy for this year. Where do you want him to land?
I think to me, I'm quite happy with him for anyone that needs a slot weapon. So I'm quite happy with him in Cincinnati taking over the Tyler Boyd role. But when you look at a lot of the depth charts at the minute and teams that are very wide receiver needy, I even wouldn't mind him landing with the Patriots, just because he's not an alpha, he's not an X, but he could be the wide receiver one on that team pretty easily.
Rich, 208.
So I'm going to go to the tight end. Well, I'll go JT Sanders here. I think that, look, everybody's hyping up Brock Bowers, but Sanders is a fantastic player. I think, yeah, the athleticism wasn't quite where we wanted it to be at the combine, but I still think he's a phenomenal player. I think he's great in space. I think he's great in the ball in his hand. So, yeah, love the value here.
And whereabouts do you think he's going to end up being drafted in the actual draft?
I think probably mid round two is what I've seen. So yeah, I know that there's a lot of people that have suggested the Panthers might grab him. Maybe at the beginning of the round three. I'd be shocked if he fell that far. But yeah, probably mid to late round two would be a nice spot for him.
Cool. We are three more subscribers away from 1,700. Let's get it done tonight. Help us help you. So much rookie content coming your way in the next month or so. Lewis, 209.
I'm going to take Ladd McConkey. I actually think this is pretty low for him because he's been rocketing up draft boards this offseason. And so I think this would be really good value for him. I expect him to go day two. I can't see him going day one. And nice to have a white guy.
That's it. This generation's Julian Edelman, no doubt. Rich, 210.
Yeah, I'm going to go Blake Corum. Just a really nice, solid back. I think at this point in the draft, let's take some flyers and some running backs. And yeah, I think he's got some upside there.
And then, Lewis, your last pick in this draft. Who are you going with? Take another one of you guys?
No, we have run out of guys by now. Jalen Wright, I'd go at this point. Really nice combine. The quickest for 5 yards in the 40 of any running back. You know, perform really well, quite an explosive back. I can see him doing quite well in the NFL.
And Rich, take us home.
I'll go quarterback. I'm going to go Spencer Rattler. I think that every talent you would want out of a fantasy quarterback, Rattler has. I think everything we're hearing is that the NFL really like him. So I think he could be a great value.
Where would you like to see him land? Because obviously, once you start slipping past those top 15 picks in a draft, you're talking about teams who typically have their quarterback situation. So you're really looking towards second, third round. What team do you think would be a good landing spot for the way that Spencer Rattler plays?
I'd love to see him go somewhere like the Giants, whether that be in round two or round three. That I don't think the Giants perhaps are ready to throw everything out the window with Daniel Jones. But Spencer Rattler, let's go and spend, you know, a competent pick, bring in Rattler. He can sit behind Jones. We'll know by week 8 that Daniel Jones isn't the long-time answer for the Giants. They can move on from the contract at the end of the season, and then Rattler's the kind of future quarterback moving forward. Oh,
if you've got players that we should have been picking in the first 2 rounds, we want to hear it. Leave a comment. We get back to every single comment, whether it's trade query, whether it's dynasty strategy. We will answer your comments. Tell us which players you liked, which picks you liked, which players we should have been picking, and who your sleepers are, because we've got loads of sleeper content coming your way over the next couple of months. Lewis, you can follow him at the Dynasty Pancake on Twitter, pumping out loads of content there. Anything you'd like to plug before we get out of here?
My Fantasy Sanctuary hat that I'm wearing, because there's a big light on in front of me and you can't really see it. Thank you so much for having me on. You know, I talk with you guys every day in the Discord, but it's a delight to come on and talk some rookies with you. You can find the podcast at Wildcard Rewind. You can find all of my stuff at dynastypancake.co.uk. There's loads more stuff yet to come for the off season, including lots of stuff looking towards free agency coming up relatively soon. But yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely. One of our favorite people, someone everybody should be following. And when it comes to stuff we've got to plug before we get out of here, Rich's Rookie Guide, it is coming out very soon. 160 pages, so much stuff in there, so much great work. Rich has absolutely smashed it out of the park. If you want to get access to it, hit the join button down below, select Silver Sunset, $2.99 a month, less than $4 a month. It will absolutely get you set to smash in 2024. We'll be back soon.